This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
For over 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, trying to bring you a wide variety of really good information all about you and your health. Now, the show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com, and this is just a reminder that Village Green is your resource for questions about your health via their website and the store on Cedar Lane for expert advice on supplements. They carry superior supplements from many manufacturers, including their own Pathway products. Now, just a reminder that we're here every Sunday morning, and you can join us next week for Kevin's discussion on homeopathy and integrative medicine. Today, we're honored to have as our guest Dr. Neil Bernard, and he's an adjunct associate professor of medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine in Washington, D.C., and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Our subject is an update on diabetes research and the expanding influence of fiber in the diet. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bernard.
Well, thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Yes, and I'm very interested in what you have found on diabetes, the new research. But tell us a little bit more about your background, and I understand you'll be opening your own medical center shortly.
Yes, that's right. I have to say my own background left me initially quite ill-prepared for talking about nutrition. I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota, and people think of it as cattle country, and that's kind of my background. My father and grandfather and great-grandfather and everybody was in the cattle business. And so every day of my life, it was roast beef, baked potatoes, and corn on the plate, except for special occasions when it was roast beef, baked potatoes, and peas. but not really what you'd call a very healthy or progressive diet. My dad didn't like the cattle business. He left. He went to medical school and became the diabetes expert for North Dakota and western Minnesota. But I got to tell you, I never once heard him say that a patient's diabetes went away or even that it improved very much. It was kind of a downward spiral. And when I started internship, you know, my medical school and internship and residency, it was the same kind of story that diabetes was a tedious condition. And now I look at it completely differently. We began doing studies on this in the 1990s, and we tested new approaches to diabetes that went way beyond what the kind of dietary changes people made in the past. And we suddenly found that in some cases, you can make this disease just, for all intents and purposes, just disappear. What I'm talking about is a person's blood tests are normal. They are on no medication. There is no trace of the disease left. And this could have been a person who had diabetes for years. They were told by their doctor this disease will never go away. Once you got diabetes, you'll always have diabetes. And it is flat out gone as far as any of the blood tests would show. That was something I was completely unprepared for when we started our research. But it has been so gratifying to see the power we have over this disease. And let's face it, we need it because it's very common. It's devastating for some people, a big cause of blindness, amputations, heart disease, all kinds of complications. But anyway, we got power that we didn't have before.
You know, that's fascinating. And probably for people who remember when diabetes or know of diabetes being a death sentence for many. And I share your excitement as a clinician and looking at diabetes as something that can be controlled, put into remission, And I love hearing what you have to say about it. Talk a little bit about the huge increase in diabetes in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years.
Well, that's exactly right. There's been a huge increase. It's been an increase here in the U.S., but where it's really telling is when you look at other countries like Japan. You know, traditionally, Japan had a rice-based diet. In fact, it was a very high carbohydrate diet. And I point that out because a lot of people have mistakenly thought that diabetes is caused by eating carbs. Well, in Japan, they had a very high intake of rice. They had very little diabetes. They were the longest-lived, skinniest people on the planet. But around 1980, fast food chains came into Japan, and what they're selling is chicken nuggets and burgers. And meaty diets in general became very popular, particularly among men in the workplace, young people eating at fast foods. The fat content of the Japanese diet started to go up, and rice began to be forgotten. They were eating less rice, more chicken, more cheese, more dairy products, more milk. And as this happened, these diet changes were paralleled by an expanding waistline, and diabetes rates shot up dramatically. In 1980, diabetes was about 1 to 5% of the Japanese population above the age of 40, 1 to 5%. 10 years later, 1990, it was 11 to 12%. And genes did not change in that time. What changed was diet. And when you throw out your healthy grain-based diet and you start becoming a carnivore, you're going to see problems. And that's what happened in Japan. It's happening in China right now. It's happening in many, many countries. That's the bad news. The good news is that we can make the opposite change. We can change in the opposite direction.
So there's a reason some of the fast food chains are declining as people are recognizing the problems.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's hope so.
Yes.
And you know, it's true. In the U.S., we have a meaty diet, you know, in general. Kind of my North Dakota diet has been sort of a rule for much of the rest of the country. But that all started to change. In 2004, meat intake in America hit an all-time high of 201.5 pounds of meat. That's what the average American ate in a year, 201.5. But we've dropped since then. Since 2005, 2006, it started to kind of sputter a little bit. And then 2007, 8, 9, 10, it started to drop. And as of about 2012, we were down about 20 pounds per person. So it's not your imagination. There are people who are choosing healthier foods. There are more vegetarians and vegans than there have ever been. And that's a really good trend. So, in fact, you know, maybe I should really talk about why this relates to diabetes. Would that be a good thing to jump into?
Excellent, excellent.
Okay, really important. When you look around at people who do better, if you look at meat eaters, they have the most diabetes. Semi-vegetarians have, people who eat meat like once a week or something like that, they have a little bit less. But the vegetarians and especially vegans have a dramatically low prevalence of diabetes. Our research team then decided, if that's the case, let's test these diets. So we brought in people who had diabetes, put them on a totally vegan diet. I mean, no animal products at all. This doesn't mean that they're not eating food. They could have blueberry pancakes with syrup for breakfast or a big bowl of oatmeal with cinnamon and raisins. And for lunch, instead of the meat taco, it's the bean burrito, but hold the cheese. In other words, no animal products. Keep oils really low. But you eat as much food as you want, as many calories as you want, as many carb grams as you want. And what we found was that everything got better. Their blood sugars improved. Their cholesterol has improved, their body weight got better, their blood pressure improved, and they also said that although a vegan diet sounded, let's face it, it sounds a little challenging, like, you know, you're going to have to learn to like folk music or something like that. What people uniformly described is that it was the easiest diet they'd ever done because we don't make them count anything, we don't make them go hungry, we don't tell them they have to eat tiny portions. And then we looked into why this works, and what we now believe, it's a new science of diabetes. What we think is going on is that this diet, because it has zero animal fat and very little of any kind of fat, it starts to pull the fat out of the muscle and liver cells. That then causes their insulin sensitivity to return, and that caused the diabetes to improve or in some cases go away. We didn't know that. We had no idea of that mechanism back, even as recently as 1990, 1995. We really had no idea of that. But we know that now. And so that is now our focus, is I don't want to manage your diabetes. I want to improve it. I want to make it go away if I can. And that is what that's what we're doing here.
You know, that's fascinating. Your theory is fascinating, too, that by creating a low-fat diet, it pulls the fat out of the cells, it mobilizes. Can you demonstrate that in testing, or it's just an observation?
What we have been able to demonstrate so far is we bring in people who have type 2 diabetes, and we track them over time, and that's when you see their blood sugars improve, and you see in some cases the disease goes away. But the cellular mechanism, this really comes from work at Yale University, where they use a technique called MR spectroscopy.
Uh-huh.
And it's a special scan where you're not looking at belly fat or thigh fat. What you're looking at are the tiny particles of fat inside the muscle cells and the liver cells, because those particles of fat are what are key. That's what's keeping the sugar from getting into the cell. And if the sugar can't get into the cell, it builds up in the blood, and that's diabetes. So they have shown quite clearly that this buildup of fats within the cell is what's causing the insulin resistance. And if I can get all the fat out of my diet effectively, it's not zero fat, but it's no animal fat, and you keep most fats low, and you have a healthful diet, that change, we believe that's what's changing inside the cell, and then that's restoring the insulin sensitivity back to what it had been earlier. At least that's the hope.
That is fascinating. I'm reminded of when people have the surgery, bariatric surgery, the phenomenon that their diabetes reverses with the surgery rather quickly. And I'm not sure there's an understanding of why. And I'm just throwing this out because I'm thinking of that's pretty quick change. It isn't based on the fact that their diet suddenly changed.
Yeah, no. Well, when they have the surgery, what happens is you're shrinking the stomach surgically. You're giving a person a very tiny stomach. And you're also, in some of these surgical procedures, you are making it so that the intestine can no longer absorb fat, because you're literally bypassing the part of the intestine that absorbs fat. So fat can no longer, even the fat they swallow, can't get into their body anymore. And it just, I'm not recommending that surgery, because that means the fat is going straight through your intestine into the toilet, and it's an uncomfortable thing. But what that surgery has shown is that if fat can't get into your body anymore, then it does drain out of the cells. And this intracellular lipid is what it's called, the fat in the cells, that will diminish by, 80-90% within a matter of weeks after the surgery. So what I say is, instead of going under the knife, why don't you take your scissors out and cut those pages out of your recipe book that have all the fat in them? And the way to think of it is, if kids put chewing gum in your front door lock as a joke, your key no longer works. You don't have chewing gum in your cells. What you have is fat in your cells, and that makes your insulin key no longer work. So we're going to drain the fat out of your cells. We're going to make that diabetes improve. And that's why I wrote Dr. Neil Barnard's program for reversing diabetes. That was perhaps a bold title, but that's exactly our target, is reversing this disease.
Well, we will talk more about that in the next few segments. And for those who have just tuned in, you're with The Essentials of Healthy Living. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the hour. We're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more interesting information from Dr. Neil Barnard.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7. Available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA certified organic, non-GMO verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle. A wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, and the show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane here in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, and we do try to bring you a wide variety of really good information all about you and your health. And a reminder that Village Green is your resource for questions about your health and good products. And this is through the website and the store on Cedar Lane. Now, we're very honored today. Our guest is Neil Bernard. He's an MD, adjunct associate professor of medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine here in Washington, D.C., and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Our subject is an update on diabetes, diabetes research, and the expanding influence of fiber in the diet. We've been discussing that. And Dr. Bernard, we talked a little bit about this on the break. I think it would be interesting for individuals to know a little bit more about the kinds of articles, research that you've done, and your plan to open up later this year your medical center. So that's interesting news.
Oh, well, thank you for asking about that. Here at the Physicians Committee, the long name is the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. We're here on Wisconsin Avenue, here in Washington, D.C., and we opened our doors back in 1985, and we are a research and advocacy group, so we promote healthy diets, we do clinical research studies, we advocate for ethical research, those are all things that we do, and we've done a lot of research studies. I guess we're best known for our work on diabetes that we were talking about earlier, but we've done a lot of studies on dietary changes for diabetes, for weight issues, for chronic pain like rheumatoid arthritis or migraine headaches or menstrual cramps, those kinds of things. Looking at not how to make a new pill, but how simple diet changes that people can do in their day-to-day lives can change these things. And I have to say it's been really quite amazing to see the power that healthful diet changes have, particularly when we go toward the plant-based diets that we've been talking about. So what we have heard over and over again is people say, do I have to be in a research study in order to come see you? And the answer was always, yes, effectively you do. So we decided to change that, and we are now opening a new medical center that has the immodest title of the Barnard Medical Center. And it's here on right on Upper Wisconsin Avenue in the district. We are opening our doors in the autumn of 2015, and it'll be a primary care facility. But I'm super excited about it because right now, if you see the doctor and you say, I've got a high cholesterol, the doctor is going to respond with a prescription. Now, sometimes you need a prescription. But the fact of the matter is that high cholesterol levels are usually related to what we're eating. So if that's the cause, shouldn't that be what we help the patient with first? And that is going to be really front and center for us. And if a person needs a prescription, we're glad to provide it. But I would much rather take you off of your medications or reduce your need for them if I can, rather than load you down with bottles and bottles of pills. So we will provide standard medical care, but we are also going to have nutrition classes and nutrition counseling and all kinds of things like that. We will have medical students and residents training with us as well. So we are very excited about it, and I hope people will come see us at the Barnard Medical Center once we open our doors this fall.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm delighted to see the expansion of complementary medicine practices and the incorporation of complementary medicine in with primary medicine. This has been a long time coming.
Yeah, and you know what? I think we need to redefine our terms also, because it used to be we'd say conventional medicine meant if you got diabetes, it meant a metformin prescription or an insulin prescription. And if you had cholesterol, it meant a statin. And then if you were going to do a diet change, that was called alternative.
I
want to switch. Let's turn that around. If foods cause the problem, then my approach to a person's diabetes has got to be to deal with the food. And then if you still need metformin or insulin, that's going to be our alternative medicine now. So we're going to turn this on its head.
I like that. I like that very much, because when people have referred, I'm a licensed nutritionist, to being an alternative medicine, I consider it primary.
Oh, absolutely.
How can we look at it otherwise?
Well, we have to make this change. Right now, in the United States alone, we're spending north of $3 trillion a year on healthcare.
Whoa.
And yeah, that's not with a B, that is with a T, that $3 trillion, if you can imagine. And imagine what that does to businesses that are trying to be competitive. You can't build a car in Detroit with all the healthcare costs and things that we have and be competitive with cars coming out of Korea or Japan or whatever. Healthcare it's a personal cost. It is a financial cost for businesses. It tears families apart. And the ways that it affects people are just legion. It used to be that we thought, well, foods affect whether you gain weight. And then we realized, well, it also affects your heart and your blood pressure. And also diabetes. Well, diabetes isn't just genetic. No, it relates to eating habits. And now we now know that even things like Alzheimer's disease, brain health in general, are strongly affected by food, if we're going to believe the research that's been coming out in the last 20 years. So these food issues cannot be viewed as some marginal or alternative thing. This is front and center in what keeps people healthy. And so for me as a physician, I am always saying to my colleagues, if you are not addressing the cause of the disease, you're really not doing your job. And when patients come in to see me, I say, bring all your medications. They don't bring a bottle. They bring a sack. And they pull out, you know, three or four bottles for their diabetes.
Oh, yes.
And they're on up to four medicines for blood pressure. They're always on a statin for their cholesterol. And then they're on acid pills and everything else. And I can't necessarily get them off all of it, but it is amazing what you can get them off of once you guide them to how to plan a healthy diet, how to make it work, how to engage their reluctant spouse in the process, to, you know, all these things. But you can do it, and for our patients, it's as if the clouds parted, and suddenly the world makes sense, and you're feeling better than you felt in years. And the idea of making a diet change, which sounded daunting, suddenly it's the easiest thing in the world, and the payoff is bigger than any investment that you could ever make.
Well, and what you're doing it very intelligently by having nutrition classes and interning or allowing medical students to experience what you are doing. I've been at this a long time, and what we learned years ago, 30, 40 years ago, was that All schools of veterinary medicine have a full department of nutrition taught by an expert in every aspect of patient care for many species, but there were only about 10 medical schools at that time incorporating actively nutrition and having it taught by someone with expertise and a degree in nutrition. And that is changing. And I'm always very proud of GW, very proud of what they have done. So this is a wonderful experience. You know, bloom where you're planted, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah. I went to medical school at George Washington University, and I'm embarrassed. Not embarrassed. It was 1976, which is a long time ago, when I first walked onto the campus as a nervous medical student. Then I did my residency there, and now I'm on the adjunct faculty there in the Department of Internal Medicine. But over the years, things have changed a lot. But I have to say, when you look at all the medical schools across the country, we really need to ramp up our nutrition. In fact, there are a couple of bills in Congress that are aiming to do it. There's a bill called the Enrich Act, and it has to do with encouraging medical schools, giving them incentives to bring nutrition back into training. There's another one called Eat for Health. It's Eating and Training for Health, and that would actually mandate any federally employed physician, like at a VA hospital, that some of their continuing education has to be in nutrition. And I think if we can make that happen, it'll really help.
Well, that's very interesting because I'm right with you on this timeline. Back in the 70s, many of the doctors that were advocating plant-based, high cruciferous-based diets for chronic diseases and cancer and cardiovascular disease were called before the medical board for quackery. And that is why everyone opened up in D.C., at that time, because D.C. didn't have that bend. And people don't believe it when I say this, and I only know it because I lived through that period. It was the early 70s when I was, late 60s, early 70s, when I was getting interested in nutrition. And boy, what a change we've made when the government came out with diet and health.
Well, things have changed, and we're seeing this now with the government policies that come out. They're getting more and more vegetarian-friendly all the time. We're not where we need to be. I mean, don't get me wrong. You still see subsidies for cheese and meat and fatty
yes.
foods all over the place. There is politics really does act as the puppeteer a lot. It's pulling strings all over Washington. Having said that, it helps when you are right. When research clearly shows that chucking the meat and cheese off your plate and bringing in the vegetables and fruits and whole grains and beans and all the wonderful foods that are made from them, that when you prove the power that those foods have, then politics starts to get pushed away. And we saw this a generation ago with smoking.
Yes.
We're seeing it now with food.
Yes, yes. Well said. Well, very well said. Well, we are going to keep this conversation going. And for those of you who have just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. And we are brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake. I'm the host for the hour. And we've been talking with Dr. Neil Bernard, Adjunct Associate Professor of Medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine in Washington, D.C., and President of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCT CTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's NeuroOptimizer comes to the rescue. NeuroOptimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. NeuroOptimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. NeuroOptimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate this show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. And I'm your host for the hour, and excited to say we've been having a really good conversation with Dr. Neil Bernard. He's an MD, adjunct associate professor of medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine here in Washington, D.C., and also the president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Dr. Bernard has talked a little bit about his background and that he will be opening the Bernard Medical Center here in Washington, D.C. on Wisconsin Avenue late in 2015. I just wanted you to talk a little bit more about some of the articles and scientific papers. I think it's over 70, as well as 15 books. I know you can't talk about all of them, but is there something you want to say that might be helpful to the listeners, especially for reading about what we're talking about today in health and nutrition in general?
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for asking about that. For the scientists in the audience, the research that we publish is in peer-reviewed journals, and people can easily look that up. We've written in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition and in Diabetes Care and many others. But for lay people who are tuning in thinking, where can I hear about this, our diabetes research was published in a book called Dr. Neil Barnard's Program for Reversing Diabetes. And they might have seen my PBS program on that topic, which is aired over and over and over again. And the whole idea really is to show people how to adopt a healthful diet to really bring their diabetes under control and to make it go away to the extent that we can. So that's Dr. Neil Barnard's program for reversing diabetes. After that, I wrote a book because there were a number of people who said, well, I just need to lose weight. I need to lose serious weight, and they may or may not have diabetes, but weight is their preoccupation. So I wrote a book called The 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart. And the whole idea was, let's try a really super healthy diet, totally plant-based diet. We're throwing out the meat and the dairy and the eggs, but we're only doing it for 21 days. And I'm guiding people through how to do this as a bit of an experiment, or I might say a bit of an adventure. And the last thing I might just mention is my most recent book tackles an issue that was sort of the last thing that we ever thought would relate to food, and that's Alzheimer's disease and other dementing illnesses. And if you had family members that began to lose their memories later in life, you know what a tragedy that can be. I mean, you lose everything. And it's not as if your heart stops beating, but for year after year after year, you're just declining mentally, and it's terrible. And we thought, well, it's old age or it's genetics. But starting about 20 years ago, researchers started to identify food patterns that were associated with Alzheimer's, and the data are now strong enough that I wanted to pull it all together in a volume that people could use. So that's called Power Foods for the Brain. And in that book, I describe how certain foods are basically hard on the brain cells. The pattern actually that emerges is that things that are bad for the heart are also bad for the brain. So saturated fat, the kind of fat in bacon grease and in cheese and other dairy products, saturated fat is strongly linked to Alzheimer's. Also trans fats, which are in donuts and a lot of snack foods, same story. But then there are protective nutrients like the nuts and seeds that have vitamin E, many of the antioxidants that we see in brightly colored vegetables and in fruits. They can be protective too. So I'm just scratching the surface, but the whole idea is that these are tools that if we put them to use, we might be able to reduce the likelihood that some of these otherwise tragic consequences will ever befall us.
And what I like is that it was for a long time, all fats are bad. And I think most everyone knows that we have good fats and we have bad fats. And the really horrible fats are the trans fats. And they're still around. I'm looking for them to be gone. It's taken way too long to get them out of the diet. Give us an idea of what you counsel patients as far as a type of breakfast, a type of lunch, dinner, types of snacks, when you try to encourage the plant-based diet.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So the guidelines that we say, if a person wants to reverse their diabetes or wants to lose weight as quickly and I'm going to say as painlessly as possible, or if they want to get their cholesterol down, we are going to throw out the animal products. And so that means no meat, no fish, no chicken, it's all gone. But we're also keeping the oils pretty low too. And so that will sound that'll sound challenging to people, but I want to say a couple of things. First of all, it's a lot less challenging than doing some of the other things that people torture themselves with. If you see a dietitian nowadays for diabetes, many of them will still say you need to cut calories. So if you're eating 2,000 calories a day, they'll give you a menu for 1,500, and you say, ugh, well, I guess I'm going to be kind of hungry, and how long do I have to do this? And the answer is you do it forever. And that is punishing. With a plant-based diet, we don't do that. We let you eat all the spaghetti you want. It's just a question of what goes on top. So to answer your question, what's a breakfast? I mentioned blueberry pancakes earlier, maple syrup, fine. The butter, no, that's going to be gone. Oatmeal, if that tastes like wallpaper paste, we're going to put some cinnamon and raisins and sliced strawberries on top. If you're having cereal with milk, we would throw out the cow's milk and have maybe almond milk or soy milk or oat milk or one of the other non-dairy milks. If you're scrambling eggs, I would suggest try one of the new scrambled tofu recipes. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, throw it out. It's all right. But the whole idea is to try these things. Try the veggie sausage, the veggie bacon. Just these are optional things, but for people who have that taste, they can do it. For lunch, if you're having a pizza, just leave the cheese off. Have extra sauce and extra veggies and mushrooms and onions and olives and things all over the top. Have a vegetable chili or a bean chili instead of the meat variety. If you're always eating a hamburger, try the veggie burger. Or if you're a hot dog person, try the veggie dog. You don't need to have the meat substitutes, but they're there if you want. People eat out a lot. If you're at a submarine sandwich shop, they are more than happy to leave off the meat and the cheese, and they'll load it up with lettuce and tomato and onions and olives and cucumbers and spinach and red wine vinegar, and they'll toast it for you. Or if you're at the taco place, the bean burrito is not the pinnacle of culinary art, but it's perfectly passable. Snacks, the original fast food is fruit, so I keep bananas and apples and oranges and pears on my desk here. Or at home, I've got a cantaloupe cut up into chunks in the fridge. And so there's lots of things to eat. But the most important thing, I encourage people to just try it. Don't make a resolution that you're going to do a vegan diet forever. Just try this on for size for about 21 days. By the end of 3 weeks, you're physically healthier, your tastes are starting to change, and you'll discover that you just look at food in a very, very different way.
Well, that a reasonable amount of time, I think 21 days is perfect. Some people try a diet and they jump around from what they were doing to something new. They really can't evaluate it. And I think 21 days is absolutely reasonable to make a change, stick with it, and record the changes that you notice. Energy, sleep, quality, weight.
Sure.
Bowel habits, everything changes. Talk a little bit more about the how fiber is so important in diabetes control, treatment, resolution.
Yeah. You know, when we have looked at why is it that a plant-based diet helps people lose weight, for example, I think fiber is probably the biggest reason for it, and it's a no-brainer. Fiber is plant roughage, and it has effectively no calories, and yet it when you're eating high-fiber foods, they hold a little bit of water with them in your stomach, so you're going to think, wow, I ate a lot of food, I'm really full. You push away from the table, you've probably eaten about 200 calories a day less than you were eating before, just because fiber fills you up. And so I think that's probably the biggest reason for why people lose weight on a plant-based diet. It's not the only reason. Their metabolism does seem to improve a little bit as well, but fiber does that. And fiber has a lot of other benefits too. It probably is a cancer fighter. Certain kinds of fiber, soluble fiber, which is in beans and oat products and some other things, they lower cholesterol a little bit, and as opposed to raising cholesterol, which is what a lot of things do. But the thing about it is that cheese, meat, these are not from plants, so their fiber content is zero. And what that means is that every calorie in the cheese, every calorie in meat, every calorie in an egg, these are not plants, they don't have fiber, every calorie in them that you get. But on the other hand, if you're eating beans and vegetables, fruits, whole grains, they have a lot of fiber in them, which dramatically reduces your caloric intake. So the beauty of it is you don't feel like you're on a diet, but your brain is tricked into reducing your calorie intake in a super, super easy way, which is why people who follow a vegan diet tend to be thin lifelong.
Well, you've described it very well. Let's talk a little bit more about the whole grains. You mentioned oatmeal, the real oatmeal. What other sources do you prefer as far as whole grains, comparing breads, pastas, et cetera?
Yeah, well, when I'm looking at the fiber champions, let me start with my neglected friend, the bean. our grandparents knew about beans, right?
Yes.
They could cook them up, but somehow they got forgotten. And the bad thing about that is they've got a lot of protein. They have iron. They have calcium. They've got soluble fiber. They've got insoluble fiber. They've even got a little trace of omega-3. You know, they don't have a good lobby group. But I'm going to cheerlead for my friend the bean. And when I'm looking at the high-fiber foods, beans are at the top of the list. Number two are the vegetables, like broccoli and so forth. They don't really advertise, but they are so helpful for you, and they're a good source of fiber. Number three is the fruit group, apples, oranges, pears. They get a lot of fiber. And then the grains come in as really number four. They are the ones that are bragging about their fiber content, but they don't really compete so hot with beans and vegetables. But that said, when you're picking a bread, you can pick ordinary white bread. That's had the fiber removed. If you have the whole grain bread, it's a little more brownish looking. It has more of the grainy look. That's because the fiber is still in there. And that's a good choice for you. If you have diabetes, I would suggest getting away from the white bread and instead pick rye or pumpernickel bread. Not only are they have a little bit more fiber, but also their glycemic index is lower. What that means is they don't push your blood sugar up to the extent that white bread will do. So that's a handy trick. And this is not low carb. You can enjoy healthy carbohydrate-rich foods. What you're doing is you're just picking the best ones.
Well described. I just want to remind listeners, if they've just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM in Washington, D.C., brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. We're having a good conversation with Dr. Neil Bernard, and we'll carry this on, talking about the new research in diabetes and a plant-based diet to reduce control or resolve diabetes. And that was exciting news from Dr. Bernard. We'll talk more about this in the next segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Solgar number 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar number 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar number 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar number 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar number 7 says yes. Solgar number 7. Available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Multivitamins. That's right, certified organic, made with the highest quality standards, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, non-GMO certified, vegan, and gluten-free. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. ProBalardi from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. ProBalardi provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function, in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. ProBalardi is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. Brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. And I alternate the show. We're here every Sunday morning. Either I am your host or Kevin Passaro. And we do try to bring you a lot of good information all about you and your health. Please tune in next week for Kevin's discussion on homeopathy and integrative medicine. We have been having a fascinating conversation with Dr. Neil Bernard, Adjunct Associate Professor of Medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine in Washington, D.C., and President of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And we have been talking about the quality of plant-based diets, the effectiveness on diabetes. And we're going to carry on that conversation. And Dr. Bernard, I always like to leave people with hints and tidbits. They can finish listening to the show and they can do something right then. And you have been giving a lot of good advice. We want to keep that flowing. What else do you have to tell us about diabetes, the plant-based diet, what you're finding in your research?
Okay, let me describe how we introduce this diet, because I think that's really important. A lot of people will say, Dr. Barnard, I get it. You know, if I became a vegetarian or a vegan, I'll bet I'd be healthier, but you know, my family would divorce me. I'd have to live in the garage. You know, no one will invite me out to dinner anymore. What will I do? And we have a way of introducing this diet that breaks it into two steps. I've never seen anyone unable to do it. And here's how you do it. What we do is the first week, what we'll say is don't actually change your diet. In the first week, all we're going to do in the beginning is what I call checking out the possibilities. The idea is to find foods that you like that are plant-based. And so we take a piece of paper, and you, the listeners can do this now. You take a piece of paper and you write breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, and you leave room under each of those headings. And for the next week, you're going to find breakfast, lunches, dinners, and snacks that you like that are free of animal products, and this is our time to test them out and see what we like. So you're not changing your diet, you're just testing. So we talked about oatmeal. Well, what's your favorite topping for oatmeal? Blueberries, strawberries, raspberries? And do you like instant? Well, hopefully you'll try the old-fashioned type. So the whole idea is to test it. I'm going to try veggie sausage, or I'm going to try a breakfast scramble, or I'm going to try a vegan pancake mix, or a new kind of bread for toast, whatever it is. Then for lunch, we're going to have pizza without cheese, which I never had in my whole life, but now I'm going to try it, or try the bean burrito, whatever. So the whole idea is we're testing these things. When we go out to eat, let's try an Italian place and see what they'll put on my pasta that is not an animal product. Let's go Chinese. Let's go Mexican. Let's go to a sushi bar and say, make me the cucumber sushi or some other kinds of vegetarian, vegan type foods. So again, I'm taking a week, and my whole goal is to fill out my list of foods that I actually enjoy that are plant-based. Then the next week, step two, is now that you've found your own favorites, the foods that are healthy and plant-based and no animal products, but you actually enjoy them, now step two is to do a three-week test drive. And this is our 21 days. So for 21 days, I'm going to do it all plant-based all the time. At this point, it's not hard because you've already identified foods that you really enjoy. And we're going to set aside meats completely, dairy, eggs, gone for 21 days. And if you don't like it, you can bring them all back later, you know, on day 22. But by the end of 21 days, two things happen. The first is people are healthier. They're losing weight. Their energy is better. Their digestion is better. Their blood sugars are coming down. Their blood pressure is coming down. They're feeling good physically. But the other thing is their tastes are starting to change. And they never expect that. But what I'll remind people is if you ever switched from whole milk to skim milk, you know, skim milk at first is so watery, doesn't even look right. But within a couple of weeks, people adapt to it. And if they ever then go back and taste whole milk, now suddenly it's like cream, you know, or you don't enjoy it anymore because your tastes change to accept the healthy foods that you are presenting to them. So the first week on a vegan diet, it does seem low. You're going to think, okay, the diet seems light. The first week on a vegan diet, it seems like, well, it's not quite enough, and you're trying to sort it out. The second week, it starts making sense. The third week, you're completely fine with it, and you're getting all these health benefits. If after that point you went back and had a double bacon cheeseburger, you just discover it's not the joyful experience you remembered. So step one, find your favorites. Check out the possibilities. See what you like and fill out your sheet for breakfast, lunches, dinner, snacks. Then step two, do a three-week test drive. It will change your life. At the end of that time, you can decide, how much of this do I want to do? Do I like how it's going, or do I want to just go back to pork chops? Invariably, people feel like this is such an eye-opening experience, and they realize it's not only the healthiest thing they've ever done, it's the easiest thing because you're not hungry, you're not counting carbohydrate grams, you're not feeling embarrassed if you ever ate a plate of spaghetti, and you can have seconds and thirds, and you can really enjoy eating again, plus the fact there are so many books, DVDs, websites, cool products at the store. It's a fun adventure for people to begin, and that's the spirit that I encourage people to pursue it in. So that's what we do.
That's well laid out. What about drinks? Water. But what other drinks do you recommend for people?
Well, physiologically, the only thing you need is water. You know, after babies need breast milk. After the age of weaning, there's no physiological need for any beverage other than water. And, of course, there's a lot of water in fruits and many plants, so you don't necessarily have to be having 8 glasses a day of water. But water's the only thing you actually need. Everything else is for entertainment. By that, I mean if you have a glass of soy milk or something like that, it's not physically needed, but you can have it if you want. So to splash on your cereal, I would not use cow's milk. I would use the soy milk or rice milk or almond milk or something like that. And yeah, you probably know the new research on soy. Some people are nervous about soy. They're afraid, well, it's estrogens or something. It turns out that soy is associated with quite a significant reduction in breast cancer risk. When people consume soy milk or tofu, their cancer risk appears to drop in the studies we have, which are pretty numerous now. Probably similar with prostate cancer, and women who have had cancer in the past have a reduction of the risk of recurrence if they eat more tofu and soy milk and that kind of thing.
I believe the mechanism is that it's a weak estrogen, but it binds to the receptors, protecting, and that's my own word, protecting them from the xenoestrogens, the foreign estrogens, and estrogen produced in the body.
That's the image that we use. It's sort of like if you're in a big plane that's arrived at the airport, but there's a little tiny plane that's occupying the jetway, and so your plane can't dock. And people will describe it like that. It's like there are compounds in soy that occupy the receptors on the cell, and that keeps other estrogens from being able to attach. That may be true, or it might be other things, but the important thing is you hear a lot of people who are afraid of soy, and they really shouldn't be. I'm not promoting soy necessarily, but it does not seem to be harmful. If anything, it's beneficial. I personally always get organic because if it's organic, it cannot be genetically modified. And who knows where that debate is going, but I'd like to just steer clear of it myself.
Right, and hence the push for labeling, so people, whether they have a valid reason or not, for those who want to avoid genetically modified, at least having it identified as important.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
yeah,
so you have given us a lot of good information. We did talk about the nuts, and I certainly value the nuts and the beans. They are both fairly, very complete as protein, carbohydrates, and good fats. So I know you mentioned those earlier as a positive food, a health-enhancing food, and certainly easy to do.
Yep.
And
I do have one little tip, though.
Sure, good.
You know, nuts tend to be fatty.
Yes.
And some of them are a little addicting, as anybody who's opened a big bag of cashews knows. And like in 5 minutes, you've devoured the entire bag. And so it can, and they're fatty, so you can get a lot of calories. So here's my tip: is if you want to get the vitamin E, for example, that's in nuts or the little trace of omega 3s, what you do is you take those almonds, pour about an ounce in your hand, and once it hits your fingers, that's more than.
Yes.
An ounce. So just the palm of your hand, that's about an ounce. And then don't put it in your mouth. Instead, crumble it up and put it on your salad or on your pancakes or on your oatmeal. In other words, use the nuts as an ingredient, not as a primary snack food. That way you'll get the benefits without the risk of overdoing it.
That's good advice. Good advice. Sounds like the salad I consume.
There you go. You're on the right track.
Well, I do want to thank you for joining us and remind our listeners they can look. Do you have a website that listeners can go to?
Well, thank you for asking. It's PCRM.org. That stands for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. So it's PCRM.org. And if people are in our neck of the woods, I hope they'll come by for a visit. We're just right here on Wisconsin Avenue.
And good luck to you and your new venture on Wisconsin Avenue. We look forward to it.
Yep, Barnard Medical Center is opening in the fall. We take all insurance or no insurance if you don't have it. And we're looking forward to seeing people here with us, and we hope we can help.
Very good. Thank you for being on the show, Dr. Barnard.
All right. Nice to speak with you today.
Yes. Well, we've got a lot of interesting information to think about. And as always, I want to thank you, listeners, for joining us here on the Essentials of Healthy Living here at 1500 AM. And a reminder that you can access this show or any of the previous shows through MyVillageGreen.com. That's MyVillageGreen.com. And another reminder that Village Green is your resource for questions about your health via their website and the store on Cedar Lane. And they carry a superior line of supplements from many manufacturers, including their own Pathway products. So thank you, listeners. And I'm reminded as our lives move forward that every day is a new day. Every minute's a new minute. And it gives us many opportunities to make positive health-enhancing choices. So please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take. It's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTLP FM HD2 Braddock Heights Frederick, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.